What's the difference between DIY and doing it yourself? It's the difference between a part-time passion and a full-time business. Wix gives you the power to turn your passion into a moneymaker with a website that fits your unique vision and the business tools you need to succeed. Let your ideas flow with AI that guides you but keeps you in the driver's seat. Manage your business from one dashboard and keep it growing with built-in marketing features. It's time to turn your daydream into your dream job. Do it yourself. Go to Wix.com.
My name is Lily, and I've had hidradenitis suppurativa, HS, for years. I finally found some relief since taking Cosentyx. Relief means I can show up more.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe hidradenitis suppurativa, HS. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your dermatologist about Cosentyx.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
Taoiseach and Minister for Enterprise Leo Varadkar has pledged to introduce a national living wage over the next 4 years. However, the chief executive of the Convenience Stores and News Agents Association has taken issue with how Maynooth University academics calculated the hourly figure for such a living wage. Vincent Jennings says the academics didn't take into account the presence of 230,000 employees of multinational corporations, and he argues that that may have distorted the data used to come up with what the living wage should be. We're joined now by Vincent Jennings as well as Colette Bennett, who is economic and social analyst with Social Justice Ireland. Vincent, can you walk us through your concerns with the absence of the multinational workers?
Well, it's the presence of the multinational workers rather than the absence. But yes, good morning, Anton, and good morning, Colette. Look, when the Low Pay Commission, and I was a commissioner on the Low Pay Commission for 6 years, when we set out the terms of reference, we specifically asked the researchers to examine whether a living wage as a percentage of the country's median wage, taking into consideration any possible distorting effect of multinational companies on the median wage in Ireland versus other countries. So we specifically asked them to investigate that matter, because time and time again, there are considerations, and you remember the whole argument about Lecbrocon economics a couple of years ago, that as by way of explanation, that MNCs have a distorting effect. So we asked the researchers specifically to look at that. And yet in the report that came before the report from the Low Pay Commission, the report from Maynooth, no mention, not one iota of mention was made to that. There were references to age and to regional, to sections and to expansion or recessions, but there was never any discussion on multinational corporations and their effect, despite having been asked within the terms of reference. And there was furthermore no reference from the Low Pay Commission themselves when they issued their report to the Taoiseach. And so our concern is that we are going to have a template for computing or calculating the living wage, which actually is erroneous or most likely is skewed because it hasn't been weighted because of the presence of MNCs. And well, I might add an additional 350,000 state employees.
Well, can you just explain how it could skew the figures? Because when the reference you made to the well-known fact about the GDP impact and the rest of it of the multinationals, a lot of that comes down to things like how you account for intellectual property and in which jurisdiction you account for it. It comes down to significant exports, where it may be a function of a pharmaceutical or a computer company happening to have domiciled in this state rather than being a fundamental function of our standard exports. These 230,000 people do work here.
Oh, they do indeed. Oh, they do indeed. But it's the skewing effect that it has, because this is actually about a living. This is computing.
But how does it skew?
Because you're basing it upon the median wage. And the median wage, if you look at what the CSO collect information, they collect it in a whole load of varieties. But what they do specifically is they also say where those industries are based, that they are paying above the median wage. And so when you look at by sector, all of those industries that are considered to be in the MNCs and all of those employees, which are 250 plus, up to 1,000 plus employees, they are all above the median wage. So they have that effect.
But what I don't understand, though, is these are employees who work in Ireland. They reside in Ireland, the vast majority of them. They pay their rent here. They pay their mortgages, their tax, all of the rest of it. These employers compete against other companies, some of them domestic, some of them foreign, to get these staff. So why should they be ring-fenced out of a calculation on our wage?
No. It's actually, I'm not talking about actually taking them out altogether. Of course not. What we're talking about is weighting it to allow for that competition, because they are being paid what is not being paid ordinarily within the community outside of them. I don't want to exclude them, nor should we exclude them. But what I'm saying is it has to be weighted accordingly.
So it is your contention that the 230,000 staff who work for the multinational sector are paid a disproportionate wage which they would not be able to get in a domestic industry?
Correct.
Colette Bennett, as I mentioned, is with us. She's economic and social analyst with Social Justice Ireland. Is Vincent right, Colette?
Well, I think what Vincent highlights is the fact that a calculation of the living wage that isn't based on what it actually takes to pay to actually have a standard of living is always going to be met with difficulties. Social Justice Ireland are a member of the Living Wage Technical Group, and we're a group of organisations that have been established since 2014 who've been tracking the real living wage over that time. And what the calculation from last September suggests is that at that time, a living wage should have been €12.90 per hour, which is significantly more than the €10.50 per hour. This data is based on a budget standards research calculation, and it tracks the changes in living costs over time. And the hourly rate, the hourly figure that I've presented there of €12.90, this is the average gross salary that will enable a full-time employed person who doesn't have any dependents, who's on 39 hours a week, to afford a socially acceptable standard of living. And it's based on things like what you need in your basket of goods. It goes through things like a nutritionally balanced diet, for example, and what would be needed in your grocery spend for that. It goes through things like your transport, your utilities, and crucially, because we're talking about the costs and increased costs, your accommodation costs, and they are based on your average rent. And it's broken down between Dublin, rural areas, urban areas and towns. And there's a huge amount of evidence base that goes into that, that presents that calculation of €12.90 for an actual real living wage. What was proposed in the document by the Taoiseach, and you know, that was researched by Maynooth, is a very academic piece that's based on an arbitrary figure of 60% of median wage. And while, you know, we would very much welcome an increase in the national minimum wage to that benchmark, we certainly can't mix it up with being a living wage, because that is not what it is. What is being proposed by the Taoiseach within this process, within this paper, is essentially a higher national minimum wage.
And however you term it, though, the suggestion that Vincent is making about those 230,000 employees receiving a weighting, as I understand it, would have the effect of reducing that median and therefore reducing the minimum or living wage, depending on how you look at it. Do you think that is the way the calculation should be done?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It is not evidence-based as being a living wage. We reiterate the fact that it has to be based on what it takes to actually have a standard of living. And we're talking about a minimum standard of living. This isn't this isn't something that's going to increase people's purchasing power that might have a knock-on impact on inflation. We're talking about giving people enough to make ends meet to cover their bills, to cover their food spend and look after their household. And that is what a living wage is. And if we're really committed to introducing a living wage, then it needs to be the right thing.
Well, Vincent, can you explain that? Let's imagine that I'm on the living wage when it does come in and I'm collecting glasses in a pub in South Dublin city centre. If I'm competing for rental accommodation, if I'm going to the shops and filling up a basket of goods, if I'm trying to get gym membership, the people with whom I'm competing work in Facebook and work in Google and work in all of the various different multinationals around that area. You'll weight it so that they count when I go to the shops, but they don't count in the calculation of my wage.
No, well, for a start, anyway, I suppose you have to understand, and I'm well familiar with Social Justice Ireland's works over the years, and that has been paralleled elsewhere, where they actually look at the expenditures. The difficulties, I suppose, for those is there are some arguments that suggest that some of those products are actually within the state's give and should actually be the responsibility of the state rather than the employer. The employer can only base his wage, the wages that he offers, based upon his own ability to make a profit at the end of the day. This is competition, and competition is, you know, the essence of our business and all of our business. So whether it is the competition that we're not the ones who are actually, setting the rates or the rents for people, and we're not the people who are actually setting so many of those things that actually skew the difficulty for the cost of living. But we are the people who are actually responsible to our families and to our employees to make profit at the end of the day. And what we're saying very clearly is, if we are to have a living wage, it has to be computed correctly. We cannot afford to make mistakes upon which all of the other payments that we make based upon, such as annual leave and such as auto enrolment and such as sick pay, all of those are based upon a wage rate. We have to have it right from day one.
Tech saying, I'm a worker on a building site. My two kids work in multinational pharma. I am paid more than them despite having no qualifications. We need to be careful about skewing the report by excluding higher earners. Another, costs in Ireland are reflective of all workers' pay, arguing for yet more discrimination and keeping down the costs of the lower paid. Colette, when this gets discussed, one of the reactions that you tend to get from most employer groups, particularly those who are dependent on large numbers of relatively low-paid workers, is that any move towards a higher minimum wage or towards a living wage will cause their salary costs to become unsustainably high. Have you any concerns about that?
Certainly. And, you know, our response to that would be, if you are relying on paying poverty wages, then you don't have a sustainable business in the first place. And rather than looking to sustain those poverty wages and to drive costs down in terms of employment costs, what really we should be looking at, and all sectors should be looking at, is advocating to government for reductions in the costs of things like rent, in things like childcare, in things that are driving up the actual living wage. So rather than looking to reduce and put people on a poverty wage, really that they should focus an attention on advocating for greater equity across the board in terms of essential goods and services that people need.
Colette, thank you very much. That was Colette Bennett, economic and social analyst with Social Justice Ireland.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
What's the difference between DIY and doing it yourself? It's the difference between a part-time passion and a full-time business. Wix gives you the power to turn your passion into a moneymaker with a website that fits your unique vision and the business tools you need to succeed. Let your ideas flow with AI that guides you but keeps you in the driver's seat. Manage your business from one dashboard and keep it growing with built-in marketing features. It's time to turn your daydream into your dream job. Do it yourself. Go to Wix.com.